This podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting ahead of AirVenture 2016. Today, I'm talking to Ian Blair Fries, who is a longtime senior medical examiner with a specialty in issuing specials. And he's going to be speaking at Oshkosh about this subject, and we'll get to that in a minute. But first, Dr. Fries, I'd like to ask you, based on our previous conversation, you're going to talk about what we know about this legislation and its effect and what we don't. So why don't we just go for a summary of that?
Well, the answer is I think this is an extraordinarily important bill for all of us, because for the first time, there will be definite changes in the way in which medical certification is carried out. Now, do we know exactly how this law is going to play out long-term or even short-term? No, the answer is we don't. But on the other hand, there are a number of things that are clear that are definitely going to happen. And those are the things I'd like to talk about, not things that I don't know.
Yeah, so what are the things that you think are clear?
Well, I think what is clear is that there is going to be a different or new path for people that normally would have used a third-class medical certificate in the past, and it's called a third-class exemption. And it is going to allow a pilot that does not have any complicating medical issues to fly using a third-class, essentially third-class privileges in particular type of aircraft. What is very encouraging is that the privileges will be that he can fly IFR or VFR, can fly an aircraft weighing up to 6,000 pounds, can fly as high as 18,000 feet or any place below that, and can have a total of five other people with him, or if you wish, a total of six occupants in this aircraft. And by the way, he can fly as fast as 250 knots indicated. So in other words, I can't tell you exactly, but I would suspect that probably 90% of general aviation aircraft fall within that. It doesn't matter whether it's a twin or not. It doesn't matter whether it's a rotorcraft or sea or land. So in other words, this is really rather extraordinary that a pilot is not going to have to go through exactly what one had to go through before to maintain medical eligibility to fly rather sophisticated airplanes. So that is what we know.
Let me ask you this. The FAA still has a period of time to formulate and release the final rule. How comfortable are you that what you've just said as being known won't change?
None of us know exactly what the FAA will do. What I think I've told you is the areas where I do not expect any change, because the law is very, very specific in terms of how you can use this exemption. And it also is specific as how the exemption should be obtained. The issues that are not going to be fully resolved are, at least that I see at this point, is how this is going to affect pilots that have a potentially disqualifying condition. And that's the part that I believe we do not, well, I believe, I know we do not know exactly how the FAA is going to handle this, and that's the part that I'm not willing to guess about at this point.
Okay, so essentially then what you're saying, if I hear you correctly, is if someone who now has a special comes to you and says, Dr. Fries, what can I expect to happen here, you can't really answer.
Well, we don't know entirely. That is true. We don't know entirely. Now, there is some extensive language about handling special issuances. In particular, the law mentions cardiac problems, mental problems, and neurologic problems. But again, it's still not clear exactly how people that have a disqualifying condition, either mentioned in the law or not mentioned in the law, will be handled at this point. I think we have to see how exactly the FAA implements this law. The implementation is just not known at this point.
I'll get your opinion on this. What do you think will happen if the FAA delays and the year passes and they haven't released the final rule? Then what?
Well, it's really not limbo, because the law itself says that if the FAA does not act and that at that point, a pilot can use their judgment, and at that point, to the best of that pilot's ability, can indeed follow the law and can fly without having a valid medical certificate in his pocket. In other words, if a pilot follows what is in the law at this point, and the FAA hasn't otherwise told pilots, all of us, how exactly to do it, our best judgment, in other words, we do every time before flight, we decide whether medically we're safe to fly. If a pilot feels he's safe to fly, he may fly under the exemption if the FAA has not specified exactly how to do it. So there is a very nice safety valve. I'm hoping that that will not be necessary, that the FAA will within the year, and there are some other restraints as well as to how and when the FAA do things. But the bottom line is, I would be very surprised if the FAA does not act, and indeed that safety valve actually ends up being active.
Well, I'm sure you're going to cover these and get some questions at your talk at AirVenture, and I'll give that time and date. That's July 26th at 11 a.m., and that's Tuesday, and that will be held in the AOPA tent.
That is correct, yes.
Anyone who's interested among our readership and listenership, I urge you to attend, because I'm sure there will be a lot of questions and I hope some answers. Thanks a lot, Ian.
You're quite welcome. Thank you, Paul.
We've been speaking with Dr. Ian Blair Freeze, a senior aviation medical examiner. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting ahead of AirVenture 2016. Thanks for listening.
This podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.